listening to Web Talk Guys Radio. Hello, thank you for joining us and listening to the show today. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Web Girl Dana, and we're helping you get a little bit closer to that coveted digital lifestyle you all seek, and we're going to help you hop into the future of the internet. Please do sign up to the Web Talk Guys newsletter. We'd be thrilled if you would join our little family. We make sure you get the skinny in all the future shows so you know when to listen. And we also email you the audio links of the most recent shows so you can listen to them at your leisure at any time. Just sign up on our site and we'll get you set up.
And if you've ever endeavored to get listed in the search engines, you probably know that there are ways to go about it that will get you a little bit closer to a great listing at the top of those search engines. What do you need to do to make your site indexable? Does automated software submission work anymore? Are sponsored links effective? So what are the big secrets out there? Only one man knows it all. Today we're going to hear from a fellow that is considered a search engine expert, and his name is Danny Sullivan, and he's the editor of searchenginewatch.com. He's going to take on the state of search engines and let us know all the inside secrets.
After September 11th, you know, we had millions of queries for American flag. I mean, and this is not, you know, something that had ever happened before. It was such an unusual query. And if you had gone to Google and searched for it, what you were going to find were sites that were all about, you know, history of American flag, the kinds of things you would expect. But what people were wanting to do is buy the things, right? You know,
yeah.
You know, everybody wanted to fly them, and there was a shortage of them. And in that case, the ads were actually very relevant, because within a few days, people who had flags could say, look, you know, we've got them in stock. And it was actually a case where, you know, I remember that the ads turned out to be more relevant than, if you will, the regular results.
All that ahead here on Web Talk Guys Radio. So, Rob, we've seen the boom. We've seen the bust. Do you think it's boom time again for dot-coms?
Yeah, I think that the online business's talent for survival has put profitability within grasp of quite a few companies out there. And I think that the bricks and mortar companies are seeing their share price dive out there in the marketplace. Certainly, if you're a casual observer of the market and the internet generation, you would have thought that that whole area of the internet boom would have slipped away by now. And a lot of the dot-com folks that started the big boom have disappeared and gone away, and there wasn't any hope for the internet. But we're seeing a lot of companies starting to reach a point where they're about to get some profits coming in the door. The bad business models out there, the pets.com, the MyLackeys, the freeinternet.com, the boo.com, kind of go away. But we're seeing a crop of internet companies that are starting to, I think, reach the top of the barrel and really start to show some profitability. What do you think, Dana?
I think the good cream kind of floats to the top.
Companies like Amazon.com and eBay, and those are some of the more well-known companies that are doing well and showing a lot of robust growth and life. But there's a lot of other companies out there that you don't necessarily hear about, but are starting to reach a point where, you know, that there is a future for the internet. So there's actually one former analyst in the internet space that's recently said, believe it or not, the internet was the first sector to head down. For the ones that survived, it's going to be the first that comes back up again, and it really will be a signal that the economy is starting to turn around.
He also said something like, if you want safety, hide in the internet. That's the irony
yeah,
of it all.
Exactly.
But there's nothing new here. I mean, it's a cycle of regular new businesses. I mean, 80% of landlocked new businesses fade away, and yeah, it's just the same old thing in this new economy as well.
Normal business cycle. So, you know, you never know. Go out there and put your money into a really good internet stock. What a novel concept.
And in a bit of streaming news, well, our friends up at Real Networks, just up the road from Web.Guys Studios, are putting up the good fight. They've been fighting Microsoft for dominance of that streaming media market. And as we mentioned last week on the show, Real Networks just announced that it had reverse engineered Microsoft's streaming format, and it would enable its own server software to serve Microsoft Windows media format files, which is sort of embracing the enemy, but I think it's a survival embrace. And they also announced that it would make much of its own source code available to the open source community. We covered that again on Web.Guys last week. But you know, you wonder, why does that matter, or will it make a difference in the long run? Well, we're all streamies here. You're streamies. You know that video and audio on the web will be huge someday. It's huge to us right now. And Reel's just trying to, I think, survive till that day. And I think it's losing its market share to Microsoft because Microsoft gives its server software away for free. So with Reel supporting Microsoft formats and opening up its source code, they're basically saying to the media companies out there, hey, you need to consider us as alternatives because you can do everything with us. But I'll tell you, we'll support both formats. Hey, we have some Flash news too, right?
Yeah, Flash 6 has been released. And if you go to macromedia.com, you can download that. And you can also view a little demo of their Flash MX product. It's called Pet Market version 1.2 release. All you do is go to macromedia.com and click on design and developer link.
Wanted to give everybody a quick heads up before we head to break that next week we have a wonderful guest, a really cutting-edge guest, and that is the president of ICANN.
The ICANN organization regulates the naming of domains and the protocols on the internet. Stay connected, because in seconds we're going to get the word on search engine secrets from Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Web Talk Guys, buffering.
You're back and listening to Web Talk Guys Radio, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and with me is Web Girl Dana.
Well, if you've ever endeavored to get listed in those search engines, you probably know that there are ways to go about it that will get you a bit closer to a great listing. For instance, I mean, what do you do to make your site indexable? Or does automated software submission work anymore? And what about those sponsored links, Rob?
Only one man knows it all, and joining us today is the fellow that is considered a search engine guru, and his name is Danny Sullivan, and he's the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com, and this site is really the destination site to get the final word on search engine issues. Danny, thanks for coming on the show with us.
Thank you.
Great. Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about Search Engine Watch and what you've been doing there and kind of how that got started?
Sure. Well, it sort of goes back to when I was doing web development, actually. This was in 95. We were building websites for people, and then, of course, as soon as you built the site, you would get asked, how come this is not showing up on search engines?
Mm-hmm.
And in 95, nobody really knew anything about search engines, so I started looking into how they seemed to crawl, how they seemed to list websites, and, you know, discovered a lot of interesting things that I thought were of interest both to people who were building websites and also to people who were searching. Published all that stuff out online, actually within a site of my own, and eventually sort of rebranded it and called it Search Engine Watch to make it a little bit easier for everybody to find it, and it's just sort of been rolling along ever since then, getting both people who are trying to promote websites coming there and people who are trying to search the web and find information more easily.
So what kind of traffic numbers are you seeing on your site? Is Search Engine Watch considered worldwide to be the leader of information for search engines?
Well, I think so.
Well, I would think it is, too. I'm just curious.
I always hate to say that. I think it's definitely considered to be one of the leading sites. I always hate to say anybody's, you know, the leading site or whatnot. You know, it's definitely a place that many, many people point to and look at and say, you know, you've got a lot of authoritative information here. It's not usually just speculation, but it's both, you know, experiences I'm gathering for myself, from my readers, and from talking to the search engines themselves. And so, you know, definitely a lot of people depend on it. I get good feedback from them, so that's a good resource, I think, for many people.
It still seems like getting listed in the search engines is still a big mystery out there for a lot of people. And is there a reason for that you can point to?
Well, you know, it's ironic. It's probably easier to get listed in search engines today than it ever has been, and yet is also more complicated.
Yeah.
And I think it's because as the search engines have evolved, we've had all sorts of new programs emerge. So, you know, for $20 a month, you can get your listing going with Overture, and that can actually get you present on a whole bunch of different search engines and making you come up for the words that you want to be found for, at least for a short period of time until you run out of money.
Yeah.
And it's really incredibly easy. You could totally do it and be up and running within a couple days. But, you know, if you were thinking, I want to get listed on Yahoo, it would take you some time to probably figure out that there's a connection between Yahoo and Overture, and how do I go over there, and then how do I sign up for my account, and you know, and that could be a mystery to people who have no clue to decide what to do at all. And that's one of the easiest ways. Mm-hmm. Then when you start talking about, you know, how maybe Google is going to interact with your frame-based site that's served out of a database, which is all built out of Flash, I mean,
yeah,
it becomes
a real
complicated
nightmare. Yeah.
Definitely. So they are definitely complicated. There are even more programs that we've had before. The upside is that that means there's actually more opportunities to get listed, but it can take a bit more work to understand everything that's going on.
Yeah, well, certainly it seems like you can get listed as a sponsored link out there and actually pay for that listing, but getting that free listing, it seems to be just as challenging as it ever has been. But is there changes in that environment right now that, as far as people trying to get the regular free listing?
There have been. In some ways, that's actually become easier in some ways as well. Well, actually, I take that back. The free listings have historically come from the search engines that crawl the web, people
yeah.
like Google, people like Ink2Me. You know, you've got newer players like Teoma or sort of middle, I don't want to say middle-aged players, but somebody like Fast who's been around for some time, alltheweb.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, except for Google, actually have programs now where you can pay to speed up the process of getting listed. But if you didn't want to fall back to the idea of just getting the free listings,
yeah.
what's happened has been that there's a much more greater reliance these days on listing pages based on people who are linking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have been linking to your web pages or to your website, the odds that those pages, which is get picked up for free and naturally appear, are much greater than if you had created a web page and then just went to the ad URL pages that they all have and, you know, tried submitting that way. Now, in the past, those ad URL pages used to be very responsive, but they don't depend on them anymore because they just get so much bad stuff coming to them. People
mm-hmm.
submitting millions of URLs that are nothing but, you know, search engine spam, low-quality content. And unfortunately, it's not that, you know, like I think AltaVista once said a number that made everybody gasp when they said at one of our conferences that 90% of what they receive is spam through their free ad URL service. And what they meant was not that 90% of people are spammers, but that maybe most of the stuff that gets, most of the people who use the page are submitting good things, but it's getting drowned out by the very few people who are, you know, using it to excess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they can't depend on those sorts of pages any longer.
We're learning search engine secrets from Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. We'll be back with Danny on the other side of the break. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
I'm interested in upgrading my 28.8 kilobaud internet connection to a 1.5 megabit fiber optic T1 line. Will you be able to provide an IP router that's compatible with my token ring Ethernet LAN configuration?
Can I have some money now?
It's Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Web Girl Dana. And we have Danny Sullivan on the line. He's the editor at SearchEngineWatch.com.
So are the days of submitting a deep link or a page within your website kind of gone?
Yeah, if you're trying to just do it for free and you think I'm going to run myself over to you know, the ad URL page at Fast, submit every page from my website, that'll get it listed. It won't.
Yeah.
It's much more likely going to be happening because people are linking to you. It still can work to some degree at AltaVista, but you have to play their little code game where you can submit 5 URLs, then you have to read this little graphical code, type it into their submit form, and then go through another 5 URLs. And, you know, it's not going to be much fun for people to try to go through it. And even then, it's still not guaranteed.
Why don't you run through kind of the top 5 things that you think are important to have within your website or the structure of your website to be able to make sure that you get indexed correctly? I know that's one of the big things, like you mentioned before, Flash and frames, those kind of things are basically search engine breakers, really. They don't work. But what are some of the techniques that you recommend?
Well, one thing is that every page in your website should have a unique title tag.
Mm-hmm.
So the HTML title tag, it's in your header area, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then find somebody technical to tell you where it is. But, you know, it's surprising. Sometimes people say, well, my title's really big, and it's right there on the page. Like, but that's not your title tag. So your HTML title tag for each page should probably be different and specific to that page and summarizes, as a newspaper headline would, mm-hmm. what the page is about, and ideally containing the key term you want the page found for. So I always use an example. If you're selling running shoes and you've got a page that lists all the different running shoes that you sell, then, you know, the title of your page probably would be something like, if you were Nike, you know, Nike running shoes, or are, you know, Nike, you know, running shoes products from Nikes or something like that. That alone, still today, you'll hear people say, all I did was make sure that my pages had unique titles, and it was enough to help me get better traffic. Because in many ways, the title tag of your page is like the title of a book. Mm-hmm. So if your website is like a library, and you've got lots of books in a library, you also, in your website, have lots of pages. If you went into a library and every book had the same title, nobody would ever find what you want them to find. And so if you come into a website and every web page has the same title, the same thing for a search engine, there's no distinction about what each individual page is about.
What word count should you be thinking about in the title tag? I see it all over the map. Some people put in there different keywords. They put a sentence in there. They put just one word, or they put home or something like that.
If you ever want to see what not to do, type in any porn term into a search engine, and you'll see these really long titles that are just chock full of keywords. And that's not what I would recommend. I usually tell people anywhere between, say, 5 to 15 words.
Okay.
That is a good amount of space for you to write a good, attractive, snappy, headline-style type title that is going to contain your key term, and it's going to make people want to click on your link. Because that's the most important thing, I think, when it comes to title,
The
title has to incent people that when they read it in the listings to go ahead and follow through and click and visit your website. And so, you know, and I write things in sort of like headline style, because I think that's what people are used to reading in newspapers and print. I wouldn't then just sort of have a big giant sentence. That's what your description can do for you, is that's where you'll be able to be a little more verbose.
Should you keep it like less than 15? Because it seems like some of the search results that you come out, they would probably cut it off toward the end, wouldn't they?
They will, and what it does tend to happen is it becomes more of a character-based type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What you'll find is that, I think the last time I looked at it, they might actually display anywhere between 100 to 200 characters of your mm-hmm. title tag. So you definitely want to pay attention to the first portion of your title, because if you've put sort of your action words at the very end of it, maybe the content's still going to get indexed by the search engine, but the search engine user isn't going to see it.
Yeah.
Aside from the title thing, you've touched on some of the other things you need to do, which is try not to put roadblocks up to search engines. And the kinds of things that are roadblocks to search engines are that you've built your site completely out of frames. Many people say that as soon as they abandoned frames, their traffic went up from search engines.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be difficult. Even today, when they've gotten better, it can be difficult for them. Over-reliance on graphics. You've built the site completely out of Flash, or it's all, you know, JPEGs, it's all GIF files, and that's not actually text that a search engine can read. Search engines are only going to read the text that if you highlighted it, copied, and pasted into something like Notepad, what you see is what they're going to index. They're like people who don't see images. You know, if you build your sites all graphically, you're kind of blocking them. The other thing you had touched on was this idea of databases. If you are using a dynamic delivery system, mm-hmm. you may be blocking search engines, and usually the sign will be that the only way your pages get served out to anyone is if they contain a question mark symbol in the URL, usually followed by some coding or parameters.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always block them. People like Google are getting better, but that can often be a stop sign to them. Those can be an issue as well.
We're in the middle of a chat with Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. More with Danny on the other side. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
You're still connected to the Web Talk Guys Radio Show. I'm Rob Greenlee, and Web Girl Dana's here.
I wanted to give you a quick reminder to swing on by WebTalkGuys.com, because we have tons of streaming audio shows from the last almost 4 years we've been doing this. We have got Web Talk Guy articles on topics that we cover on the show, great transcripts of our discussions with CEOs from a lot of .coms. And if you are not already a member, please do sign up to the Web Talk Guys newsletter. We'd be thrilled if you would join our little family. We make sure you get the skinny in all the future shows so you know when to listen. Just sign up on our site and we'll get you set up. Now let's get back to Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com.
Do you see Flash sites becoming indexable in the future?
Nope, not at all. I see a lot of people keep asking about it, and I keep the search engines keep saying, that's not something we can really do very easily. And if you think about it, when you look at some of the Flash sites, sometimes they don't actually contain anything you could index. I mean, you come into someone's homepage, and the homepage starts doing all sorts of things at you, but there's not really text in it, you know, so what is it that they were going to index to begin with? You know, or you come into a site that maybe is all of a flash game to discover mm-hmm. the product or something. And how do you index that? I mean, you might get 20 words out of it. That's not really kind of something that you could, even if you could go in there and extract the text. And I think there's even new tools now that will extract the text from the flash. There may not actually be text that's really worthwhile to extract. And one analogy I try to use for people when they say, well, this is just unfair. I mean, how can the search engines do this? Nobody says to radio stations, when are you going to start broadcasting video, right? You know, yeah. If you want to be on radio, you think about the fact that people can't see what you're displaying. Well, search engines, you know, they see text, and that's yeah. how they operate, and that's how they've begun. And they know that anybody who comes to their services can understand text. They don't know that if they send somebody off to a flash site that those users can actually be able to interpret the flash when they arrive there. And that's actually a problem that sometimes I think designers forget, that the search engine isn't going to know whether or not when they deliver somebody mm-hmm. into an all-flash page, whether that person can handle flash. And the designer typically probably hasn't anticipated whether or not that's going to happen when someone comes directly into a page as opposed to coming in through the home page and being asked, hey, can you handle flash or can you not handle mm-hmm. it? So if you're wise, you're going to build a non-flash and a flash version of your site, or you're going to use flash where it makes sense to be used and not throughout the whole thing just because you can do it, but you don't yeah. necessarily need to.
Would you say that that's a weakness with Macromedia's design of flash, that they didn't build in the ability to have some code set readable?
You know, again, it's hard to say. I mean, they do have some tools now. I'm sure that they've got some tools even in before MX. I think in 5 they had a tool that would export some of your text. The weakness they seem to have corrected is the fact that if you have flash content and you have links in the flash content, the search engines couldn't follow those links. Mm. And the big correction seems to have been to make it easier for the search engines to find links to other pages. And so that's definitely helpful. But I don't know if it's a weakness, again, that they haven't made the tool export more of the text when, again, a lot of times there's no text to be exporting. If you go back and look at some of the flash stuff that you typically would find, I mean, I go on people's web pages and I go to check out, you know, what is the product that they're offering or whatnot, and the page comes up and it's all flash and it's graphical and it's just not really telling me anything, you know, in words. When I eventually get to words, it's an HTML page that eventually comes in behind the scenes mm-hmm. later on.
Why don't you tell us how important the description tag is, and also alt tags and some of those other aspects of a website to get indexed?
Well, there are all sorts of different elements that search engines will look at, and some of them look at all these different kinds of elements, some of them only pick and choose. Mm-hmm. The ones that I think especially are known to people these days now are the idea of meta tags, in particular mm-hmm. the meta keywords tag and the meta description tag. Mm-hmm. The meta description tag simply lets you list the kinds of words that you would like to have displayed with your listing on the search engines that honor it. And I think these days there's only two of them that are actually honoring that tag now, AltaVista and Ink2Me.
Why is that? Why have they moved away from that?
Well, it's not that the other ones have moved away from it. Is that they didn't actually use it to begin with. The better question is, why didn't Google embrace it like when they started? Because they didn't mm-hmm. start off using it and then abandoned it. They didn't start using it because there's sometimes not trust in the tag. People will lie about what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who has moved away recently is Fast. At alltheweb.com, where they've kind of gone back towards more of the snippet approach. And even AltaVista now has backed away with it, and they may use the description tag, but they may use the snippet. And that's because they've gotten better with the technology of, when you do a search, trying to find where the word occurred on the page and then sort of pulling out that highlighted area. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes helps you better understand that the page is relevant to the word that somebody's looking for. You know, so you do a search for running shoes, and maybe in your description of the page you didn't actually use the word running shoes, but somewhere else on the page you did. Google would find that snippet and display it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be helpful. I actually prefer a hybrid. I like it when the search engines come up with a way where they show both the description that the author wants people to know and maybe the highlight from mm-hmm. the page, because sometimes the snippet actually doesn't do a good job of explaining everything else the page does as well.
We're having a conversation with Danny Sullivan. He's the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. More in a moment. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. The Web Talk Guys are thrilled to be your radio hosts, but we'd also be thrilled to host your website, too. The WebTalk Guys website hosting service combines a high-speed, dedicated internet connection and the marketing power of a link from the show's website to help you. We offer all the standard hosting stuff for a very low, limited-time hosting price of only $10 a month for the first 3 months. To learn more, go to WebTalkGuys.com and click on Web Services or email info@WebTalkGuys.com. You can reach us by calling area code 253-640-0164. WebTalk Guys, not just your radio hosts, but also your total hosting solution.
This is the WebTalk Guys World Radio Show, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and WebGirl Dana is here.
And we're having a conversation with Danny Sullivan of SearchEngineWatch.com, sharing some of his tried and true advice on getting listed in search engines.
Which of the search engines would you consider to be kind of the smartest right now? I know that there's been discussion about, you know, Hotbot at one point was one of the most intelligent robots out there when they went to a site. Is Hotbot still the king in that area?
No, not at all. Don't mean to be so mean about it, but Hotbot's been sort of in limbo, and I think even its owner, Tara Lykos, you know, has says that, yeah, we need to sort out what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. Hotbot's big claim to fame initially was that they were the showcase for Inktomi, and then they switched over and started using stuff from DirectHit, which then kind of hasn't been doing as well to the degree that its owner, Ask Jeeves, has switched over to purchasing a whole new search engine, Taoma. Mm-hmm. And if you're following all the bouncing balls, Hotbot's just kind of been out there with some search results, and you can do it, but probably changes that will come down the line later on this year.
They're all sleeping together, aren't they?
Yes. People really tend to seem to focus on is which is the most relevant search mm-hmm. engine.
Well, I guess
especially when you talk about the crawlers.
That's the ultimate
right.
definition there, yeah.
I think Google still widely gets acknowledged to have the crown. It has been some time since I've done a real good battery of relevancy tests. It's something that my associate editor and I are hoping to do later on this year. It takes a lot of time to do it right, and I haven't seen actually anybody else do a really good rundown of that sort of thing as well. So you tend to rely on what you're hearing from your users, and Google still tends to shine for many people. Somebody like alltheweb.com attracts a lot of attention from people as well. You know, the relevancy has gone up in the past few months. People like it. Of course, somebody like Taoma has attracted attention because, you know, it comes onto the scene and it immediately looks like it has really good stuff. So the coverage that it has of the web is much smaller than All the Web or Google. I think they only have about a tenth of the pages. And having the most pages isn't the most important thing for a search engine, but it is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, sometimes people forget about things like MSN Search. It's rare for me to see somebody say, yeah, MSN Search, that was a great search engine, I'm glad to went to it. But they actually do a lot of work to go over there to try to make sure when you do a query for something that's very popular, you're going to probably get something good. It's going to have been because, you know, editors at Microsoft itself have gone through and picked out stuff that they think is good to show up, and it isn't always just stuff that Microsoft is having as their own content.
Well, certainly they're doing some very cool things on their search results right now where they actually display a thumbnail of the actual search results, and I think that's revolutionary when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, they were a bit bummed because they had been testing this for some time, but they hadn't put it out there. You know, they're still working out how they were going to do it, and then Google yes. came out with their own beta test, and they were like, oh, no, everybody's going to think we're copying Google. Honestly, we've been doing it before, and it was true. They have been, you know, doing that beforehand. They also do just a lot of great things. I mean, you can go over there and search for Britney Spears with, like, practically any spelling you can think of, and they've actually gone through and looked at all these different ways that it comes up, and they will still make it come up the right way for you, whether or not you spell her Britney Spears with two E's and her last name or an A. You know, I think they counted there were like 48 different kind of variations.
Well, Danny, a lot of people may not be familiar with the idea of sponsored links. I know that recently in the last month I've been playing a lot with Google AdWords, and Rob has done a lot of work with Overture. Why don't you just give us a quick definition of sponsored links and then tell me what you think about the difference between the two, maybe which you prefer.
Sure. Well, sponsored links is, or another phrase for it is paid placement, paid listings. It's simply where someone is paying money and being guaranteed to show up for the terms that they want to be found for. So you're selling running shoes. Search engines have been a big headache for you. I never seem to be showing up that way, and what can I do? And the search engines are saying, well, you know, if you want to pay us enough money, we'll run an ad for you. And then you can be guaranteed and you can show up there. And I don't have any problems with them, you know, the concept of them. I think it's a great way for search engines to make money. Sometimes ads are very relevant to people. I know that when I'm in California, when I was living there, every Saturday I would run for the paper to get the back of the sports page because I wanted to read the Fry's ad. You know, that was what I wanted to have, and if I didn't have it, then I wouldn't know what I could purchase at that store and what was on sale.
Sure.
So many times ads are very relevant to people, and they have their place on search engines just as they do in many other places. I think one good example I like to tell about that is where after September 11th, you know, we had millions of queries for American flag. I mean, and this is not, you know, something that had ever happened before. It was such an unusual query. And if you had gone to Google and searched for it, what you were going to find were sites that were all about, you know, history of American flag, the kinds of things you would expect. But what people were wanting to do is buy the things, right? There was a shortage of them. And in that case, the ads were actually very relevant because within a few days, people who had flags could say, look, you know, we've got them in stock. And it was actually a case where, you know, I remember that the ads turned out to be more relevant than, if you will, the regular results because of the delay sometimes happens with regular results. The only real issue that has happened, I think, when it comes to having paid listings is sometimes they're not clear. So people don't know that they're paid as opposed to the editorial stuff. And some people want that kind of delineation. And they're getting better about doing that, and they're especially getting better now that the FTC has put out some, quote, guidance saying we think you ought to do a better job. Or when you go to a search engine and the only thing you get are paid listings. Because I don't agree that every time you do a search, all you want are yellow page style listings. Sometimes you need more variety. It's very difficult to know what somebody wants, whether they want a product or service or they want information. And any good search engine ought to be giving you a mixture so that you can make the right choice.
We're in the middle of a chat with Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. More with Danny on the other side. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Get your .com drama right here, right now on the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show.
You're back and connected with the Web Talk Guys Radio Show.
And we have Danny Sullivan on the line. He's the editor at the place to go find out about the search engine listings, and that's searchenginewatch.com. Danny's given us the scoop on the secrets of getting listed very well in the search engines.
Certainly, I think the FTC ruling was trying to draw kind of a clarity and or a separation between the sponsored links and the regular search results. But it's been kind of my observation, because I've worked a little bit with sponsored links, is that I think separating them too much, I think kind of like what Google does, I think detracts from their effectiveness. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but because they start looking like an ad again, you know?
Well, there's been different debates about that, and different people feeling like they don't want to delineate them because people won't click on them. I think Google's biggest weakness is probably that by throwing them off to the side, they get overlooked.
Yeah,
I think most of the other search engines tend to do them in line.
Yeah.
And I can understand why Google wants to do that. In the long term, though, we might see them move them over because it might make sense to do it. And, you know, some users might complain, well, you know, why am I getting these paid listings in the way? But, you know, you're not paying to use the service.
Yeah, exactly.
And people historically
haven't
shown to it. So, yeah, you know, you may have to look at the first three links, which are ads, and you can understand that they're ads, and they might be relevant to you because people are paying to be there, and that's funding, you know, Google and the other ones. The problem, I think, is though, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem if you went to Google and, you know, the first three or four links were all paid.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think that would actually be preferable, because having them off to the side actually, I don't know, it just detracts from just the concept so much.
But where I do think you have a problem is, like, AOL tried this at one point where you did a search and it used to be you got, you know, three paid listings and 10 unpaid. And then they went to this other situation where you're getting five paid listings, five unpaid. And if you will, the ad break, you know, was like 50-50 and it was going much higher. And if you go to some meta search engines, you know, sometimes you do a search and there's no editorial. It's all paid. So I think getting that balance is right. You need to have that variety, you know. And maybe the search engine changed things. You know, maybe it's that you do a search and you get a page of 20 listings. And, you know, eight of them are paid, and here and there's another 12 that are editorial. And what we do kind of see is that people don't necessarily care how many listings you get on the page. They just don't tend to go beyond what you give them at the first set.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably more experimentation we'll see and stuff going along with it that way.
Danny, without a doubt, you've done a tremendous job at Search Engine Watch over the years, giving everybody basically free advice on how to get their sites listed well. And I know that I've been using it. Rob's been using it for years. But there are people, of course, coming on with new websites every day. And what you've just said in the last 20 or so minutes sounds confusing to them. I mean, it's all new. So tell me, what do you think about the automated software that you can purchase out there that we get spammed with sometimes saying, we will submit you to 6,000 search engines for $29.95.
Run fast, right?
It's hard to there's a lot of different software, so it's hard to characterize it all. Most of the automatic software submission tools, though, you know, aren't really worth it, in my opinion. Not if you care about getting listed in the major search engines. Mm-hmm. There are only probably about, 10, if even that are major services. And you could easily do the stuff yourself and probably more effectively. Mm-hmm. Or even if you didn't do it, they'd probably find you anyway. So the automated submission tool probably hasn't helped you at all. Where they can be useful is to get you listed in the 990 other search engines that you don't really care about.
Yeah.
They probably will never send you any traffic, but you feel like,
I'm out there.
I'll cover the base.
That's right.
I've got $50 to blow anyway. So, sure, because I don't think you should waste your time going to some of those other services. And if you did do it, the main thing I would suggest is that you never use your own email address when they ask you to put it in, because then you end up just getting all this spam coming back to you.
So is it true that if you use an automated tool like that, that some of the search engines will actually exclude you, not include you?
It could happen, but it's not likely for the typical user. The search engines will be more likely to crack down on somebody who was using an automated tool that they actually built themselves that kept hitting their submit page with thousands of submissions, let's say, per day, and that they could tell were coming from a single source.
Mm-hmm.
If you used an automated tool and, you just did it to submit your pages and you ran it once and for that year, ran it once a month or something like that, you just don't show up on the radar screen for them to be enough to care about banning you. And there's so many people who are just doing it because they don't know any better anyway, right? So it mm-hmm. wouldn't be fair for them to start banning people just willy-nilly for that sort of thing. But what is more likely to happen is it just isn't taken into account. Again, the automated tools are just really going to send your URL to those free ad URL pages that they have out there. And as we talked about already, they're kind of ignoring those submissions anyway. That's like an ultimate backstop that maybe if we haven't found everything we need by crawling links on the web, then we can look back at this list of submissions and that might help us.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't always depend on it.
We're learning search engine secrets from Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. We'll be back with Danny on the other side of the break. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
It's Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And we're having a conversation with Danny Sullivan of SearchEngineWatch.com.
There's two issues out there that have been kind of lingering within the search engine industry for a long time, and one is dead links. The other one is the whole issue of spamming the search engines. Have those two issues, from your perspective, have they either gone away or are they in a process of going away as being issues with search engines?
So dead links, first of all, hopefully that will start to go away, because what you're seeing are the search engines trying to increase their crawling schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So typically they all tend to operate on a roughly monthly basis. If you haven't been back to the page within a month, it could be that some of it is going to go dead. Or, it's going to be out of date, so it's not reflecting what it was before. A lot of pages don't change that often, though, so that you're trying to get the balance right, because, it takes a lot of time to go recrawl everything that you just crawled, and it prevents you from getting newer pages. So you are seeing them try to come up with more intelligent crawling mechanisms and ways of getting out there and refreshing that more often. As for the spam, I think you probably have seen a decrease in that, and it's probably in part because there are these paid alternatives that people can use. It's not as much of an incentive to go through and try to spam your way to the top of a search engine, because it wasn't guaranteed that it was going to happen for you in the first place. And it might be just cheaper at this point to buy the listing rather than spend all your time trying to put it into an effort that might not have been successful anyway.
What would you say is the number one strategy right now to be able to get a top listing in a particular keyword within the search engines? Now, I know one of the techniques that's been used in the past is a doorway page, and there's been a lot of techniques out there. What is the one technique that you can point to that's most effective?
Well, sort of cop out and say that it's the paid programs.
This is the paid program? Okay.
But it's not necessarily a cop out. I mean, if you are trying to get that top listing, the paid listing programs are the solution, because they guarantee to get you there. You can control the cost. Sometimes it's not even that expensive to do it. And that's why Overture is continuing to show a profit, raking in all this money. And you see all these articles written about the battle between Overture and Google, because they're making all this money because people realize it's a very effective way to get those top listings and that those listings pay off for them. Now, when you start talking editorially, the editorials of how do I get the top free listing,
that's a tough question.
Probably, it's hard, but probably link spam is the thing that's, I don't know that it's necessarily the top thing that people are doing, because a lot of people might still be going through the old sort of doorway route, but link spam is probably sort of the up-and-coming contender, which is, I will, you know, get all sorts of links pointing at my particular page.
Reciprocal links, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you see people call it Google bombing or all sorts of other things, but if I could just get all these lists either, you know, by enlisting friends, family, neighbors, or I'll just create them myself and trick the search engines, and that will get me to the top of the list for a particular word. And you're seeing that because there's so much of an emphasis, because Google has grown up in its popularity. It can deliver so much traffic, and people identify it with making use of links, so it's something that they do tend to try these days.
Well, certainly the Google Rank program that they have is based totally off of reciprocal links out there, and I guess those other sites have to be prominent in order to elevate you as well. I know there's a strong connection there.
And it's actually not just completely built on that. I mean, they see that, but that's a misconception a lot of people have. They say, well, Google, it all operates off of links, so you have to have links. Links are very important to Google, and they do have the page rank mechanism to determine popularity, but you know, Google still looks at your web pages. It still looks at the title tag. It still looks at the text on the page. Mm-hmm. It still looks at a lot of the on-the-page criteria to determine whether or not the page is important as well. So that kind of bedrock of success is important. And I should have said also with the sort of the link thing, that's also sort of the top sort of both legitimate and illegitimate thing that's going on. There are definitely people who are building good, legitimate links and understanding that that's an important tactic. But that gets coupled with the fact that the other tactic that they're following is having really good content websites. Mm-hmm. You know, people are realizing that, hey, if I build websites that have good information for human beings and there's a reason for them to come here and see what I have to offer to them, then that is the kind of site that's going to attract links, and that in turn then attracts the crawlers to send me traffic.
Mm-hmm. Certainly one thing that we've seen with our show here is we also write content as well, and we have that syndicated out through the Moreover organization. That helps spread our links out there, just kind of use us as an example, and we've elevated, I think, probably two places, I think, in the rankings within Google. I think we're up to 7 now out of 10.
Yeah.
And I can directly attribute it to our articles that are out there on all these other people's websites, because they were syndicated through Moreover.
Yep. Yeah, it can make a real difference, that sort of thing.
We're in the middle of a chat with Danny Sullivan, the editor of SearchEngineWatch.com. More with Danny on the other side. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. Without you. As listeners to the Web Talk Guys radio show, I'm sure you're aware that companies that have an internet presence have in turn a great marketing strategy. Web Talk Guys website design service builds terrific business websites. Whether you're seeking a basic website or a revamp of your existing site, or maybe just someone to make periodic updates on your website, the Web Talk Guys website design service can assist you in developing a great face on the web. To learn more about the Web Talk Guys website design service special offer on site design or hosting, go to webtalkguys.com, click on web services, email us at info@webtalkguys.com, or you can give us a call at area code 253-640-0164. Web Talk Guys, not just radio guys, but also your total website solution.
The Web Talk Guys, here and now.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Web Tech Guys Radio.
We have Danny Sullivan on the line. He's the editor at the place to go find out about the search engine listings, and that's searchenginewatch.com.
Well, what's the next evolution that you're seeing with the search engines? What's the next big thing that you think that they're all moving towards that's going to revolutionize how people find things on the internet? Is there anything, any sign of that?
Well, there are two major things that I think that'll be happening. One is this idea that, I'm trying to think of the right way, I still haven't got a good catchphrase for it, but it's the sense that, you know, the answer to everything is not a web page. And you see this at, you know, Google or some other places where, you know, people go there and they do a search and they're trying to find news information, but they're using the web page search functionality. They don't use, say, the news search functionality. And so what's happening is they're getting, you know, content from web pages that might be a month old rather than content from, you know, news-specific websites that do have headlines, that do have the kind of information that you may want. Mm-hmm. And so, or in other cases, and I've seen this in, you know, training, people ask me, well, I've been looking, because I was trying to find some images of something. And I would, you know, be showing Google, and I said, well, did you try Google's image search? And you show them how it worked, and their jaw just drops, because they've been trying to do a web search for, you know, these pictures. And then suddenly they do a search, and here's a search that not only finds you pictures, but shows you them.
Well, that and 100 of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, or product searching, you know, people go to search engines all the time, and they type in an exact product name. And they want to buy the product, and they want to know the cheapest price, you know, to buy it online. And, you know, typically a web search engine just won't do that very well. And so, you know, these are all instances where the answer for what you wanted wasn't a web page, but it was something else. It was a shopping price, or it was an image. And we're seeing all these different kinds of specialty search engines happen and grow. And the big challenge is for the search engine to kind of read your mind and understand, hey, you know, you just searched for, you know, Madonna. I bet you might be interested actually in some, you know, MP3 songs. Let me display some of that information along with other information I have about her, rather than just give you this sort of web page centric outlook on life.
Suggested, or, you know, search results, is that what you're talking about almost?
Well, it'd be blended search results is probably a better example, where you get a mixture of things. And you see this again, you know, Google and other places, all the web, AltaVista, you know, you can do a search for any top news story these days, and you'll see that they'll insert at the top of the page news. Mm-hmm. Because there's just so many people that are going there searching for news content that they've had to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's designed to say to the people basically, hey, you know, click here. We've got the news content you want. You just didn't use our news search engine. And people probably never will. We have had this in the past where you'd go to a search engine and they'd have all sorts of drop-down boxes. You see this at Google. You know, they've got the tabs, right? I mean, they have these tabs at the top of the home page. So you could search their groups area or their image area or their directory information. And I consistently ask people when I do training classes, did you know these were tabs? Did you know you could do stuff with these? Did you know you could click on them?
Yeah.
They've got no idea. No idea whatsoever. And it's not going to be a case that they're going to suddenly figure it out. It's going to be a case that the search engines themselves are just going to automatically make that stuff happen for people. So there's that sort of mind-reading type of thing that I think will come up. And I forget that there was another thing I was going to say. Now I've forgotten what the future search will be.
Well, I can make...
I could be wrong. Anyway.
One last comment here is I've seen sites like seeingfish.com, which is a site that searches multimedia online. Do you see these major search engines kind of embracing on-demand content, audio, video, those kind of things as being a part of their index?
Yes, no, definitely. Any kind of resource out there that might have answers for people, they'll embrace and eventually find a way to, you know, merge into the kind of results that you do. So that you type in who won the World Series in 2001, it may not be the web page that you get, it just may be the answer. That was something that iWin was doing in a partnership with Pac City for a while, and, you know, maybe we'll see more of that sort of stuff come on down the line.
Danny, anything new on the horizon for Search Engine Watch you want to tell our listeners about?
Sure, we have our big conference that's coming up that we produce and sponsor, Search Engine Strategies in San Jose, and that's going to be August 12th through the 14th, and it's just a big event with lots of search engine marketing experts and representatives from search engines talking about basically how to get your website listed on these things.
Well, Danny, thanks for joining us on the show.
You're welcome.
It's terrific hearing from you. We've been speaking with Danny Sullivan, who's the editor of searchenginewatch.com, and Danny, you have a terrific weekend.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be watching.
That sounds great.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio, and that's it for this week. We sure do appreciate you letting us into your ears during the last hour.
Please meet us here next week and tell your friends about the show. Remember, the Web Talk Guys is streamed via the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you can always get it right here.
Yeah, and if you missed part of the show, well, we have each segment separately available for listening when it's convenient for you.
And we'd also like to thank you for being a loyal listener and hope to see you again next week. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.